Friendly Geordie's podcast. I'm sorry, but as usual, Miss Love doing the in-depth investigative journalism that no one else has the guts to do in the country. Remembered something that Sunrise did 10 years ago and found out about it just then. Everybody else forgot about it. And just Miss Love discovered it. And we all have to bow down to him for that. He is our new god. I mean, and everybody's always talking about, I know some dank meme pages. Yeah, but you don't know Miss Love. He is a hound for memes.
And you're not listening to last week's recording. Yes, we're still talking about that.
We'll be talking about this for a long time.
There's so much to break down.
You could break down frame by frame. You really could.
In fact, the next 20 podcasts aren't going to be podcasts. They're going to be a lecture series on Sunrise singing Where Is the Love?
Yeah, it'll be like a Jordan Peterson installation. Like, now let's break it down. Like, how is this Irish man considered, you know, lack of a better term, retarded? I mean, to be disabled. I mean, this is a very multifaceted question. I mean, look, first of all, his stupid face.
Like, yeah, it would be incredible.
But instead of talking about all of these lightweights of history like Nietzsche, we're talking about the real philosophers of our time, Koshy and the chick that's on Today Extra now.
Today Extra. What the hell? I don't even know what that is.
The one that's in Sydney Ballroom that somehow, 15 years later, I think... No, 10 years later. No, not only has an age, is hotter now than she was then.
I don't understand it.
She looks like Bindi Irwin there. I don't know why she looked like a 10-year-old at 30. There's a lot of questions that we need to answer here, and that's the first one.
Are they all aliens? Because I don't think any of them are human.
But the second one is, and you've got to look this up, Sunrise, Where Is the Love?
It's got like, what, 30,000 views, right?
37,000 views. And I think 7,000 of those are me just putting at the end of my videos, where the top comment is, now that I'm making that my outro music...
Is top this your outro music?
From now on, yeah. Oh. It's just, I'm going through it piece by piece, 20 seconds each, so we can really appreciate every milliframe of this. But the top comment in relation to this video is always, oh, you can't just drop that outro on us and not give us a link.
Yes, dude.
All right, let's play it.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for being the
first part here is, what is his name, Miss Love? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know if this man, as you've used this term before, what's it called where you sort of project something and it becomes real because of your mental projection?
It's the secret, but in Miss Love's mind, this is what he conjures.
Yeah.
Where Is the Love song by Koshy?
No.
That's his wildest dream, and it is wild.
No, what I was going to say was, I think that this Irish guy isn't even real. It's like some amorphous blob that has been projected onto the Australian people by a collective psychology or psychosis. First of all, I don't think he's alive anymore. I should only hope. He's not around. But what is he? I don't know. Why is he? Is the bigger question.
You have no idea who he is.
I know who he is.
I think he was the tech whiz on Sunrise. Is that the deal when he just come out and go like, they're calling it the BlackBerry?
I think.
Why does he get to be on this if he's just like a techie?
Because
they have all the team there. So they interview, say, the doctor or the foreign affairs expert, which is Keith Suter. He was just a non-Pakistani you. He looks exactly the same. And all these people that came on and they'd interview them for 2 minutes each and then get down to the real issues of,
now, somebody put some trash on the rail lines. Nobody was hurt, but... It's very dangerous, I know you think you're having a laugh, but no one's laughing.
So good. It's the deputy school principal every morning.
That's why we all watched it. Why is he so lame?
I watched it because they were my parents.
Oh, yeah, they were pretty much my parents.
Anyone who had parents that left home early in the morning, you replace them. They were surrogates.
Like, just so... No, dude, I watched it with my mum while she made breakfast. Like, this was like...
So your mum became the housemaid and
Exactly. Right. You have to understand, Ali, both... Like, think about this. Both me and Jordan watched this show every morning for like 7 years. And
why? Didn't you have to go to school?
Before school. Yeah, it was before on a school. Six.
What happened? So you woke up before school to watch Koshy?
No, when you're getting ready.
When you're getting ready, it's always on. And then it started as being like, and you know, I hate this. Reason? But then it grew into love. Like yin and yang. Yes, it's like the yin is connected to the yang. It's like you hate it passionately. And then like, I don't know, 3 years in, you're just like, it's like odd. It's kind of like a warm blanket. It's like weirdly comforting. It's not, it's like, It's like an icy pole. It's nothing special. But that experience does the job.
Is like that's such a good euphemism for it. And Sunrise sounds like a brand of icy pole.
It might as well.
Do you think like that's like that experience is uniform amongst most Australian kids?
Yes.
Yeah, I think what happened is once Jaden and Ryan were taken off Cheese TV, you were like, it's not the same without the really crap jokes in between it. And so you stopped watching it. Also, on top of that,
do you know
Cheese TV got like a bit repetitive of Dragon Ball Z when it got to like, no way, their power levels at 700 million. So you kind of got where this train was going at this point.
Seven
so you
episodes
moved on to Sunrise because of the clock and it was easier for you to get to school in the morning. That was pretty much it.
That's
because they had a little clock,
there was
on
a
the
clock
side.
In the corner.
That's why you started watching
That's actually
it.
What it was, because the clock, it was like watching a clock. It was like a slightly more entertaining clock, let's be honest. That's what it was. Like, Koshi is a talking clock, basically. So you could tell what time you were late for school, so you just leave it on. And then, like, you know, I don't know. You didn't even really listen to the information because it was just trash. But no, you did. It was the definition of like soft news. Like it was literally like, and today a study's come out saying avocados actually aren't that good for you. They're good for you, but not that good for you. And you're like, it's just.
So it's like the Seth Rogen of news.
Oh, well, Seth. Yeah, I mean, Seth. It makes Seth Rogen sound like fucking Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, no, that's so true. It is the Seth Rogen of news, because pretty much it's, I'm not laughing, but I'm smiling. Yeah. And that's good
and
enough.
And also, it's like brain.
Exactly. Yeah.
And on top of that, it was really good. It was a stroke of genius. The other thing is, Koshy is an extremely special man.
He is.
It was like what
he's
I was
very
trying
likeable.
To explain beforehand. The producer, after 10 years, when they fired Mill. They were thinking about firing Koshy, and then the overall consensus was, no, Koshy is gold.
He is.
And he is.
He's just a dad.
I like him as well.
Me too. Yeah.
Whenever I watch him, I'm like, yeah, I keep watching
him.
He's
a good-natured man.
He's also like a funny-looking individual. Mm. Like,
yeah, he's George Costanza.
And has a funny voice. Yeah, George Costanza mixed with Julia Gillard and Jordan Peterson's voice. What's not
Yes, yes. Exactly. But like, yeah, exactly right. And like,
and he's a special man. He's kind of just a fuddy-duddy, and he's not he
Do you
doesn't
know where
take
he's
himself
from?
Seriously
he's not
at
too,
all.
He's not too malice. The only like he's a lot it's hard to believe, but he's actually a lot less fake, quote unquote, than like a lot of these sort of like news personalities and celebrities. Like the only part where he's a bit of a like sellout is like, you know, I reckon he would be pretty like if someone like I think you know, if you had, it's the mainstream thing, but if you had like Peterson or someone on, he'd be like, so like, why do you, racism is bad, right? And he'd be like, yeah, of course it's bad. It's like, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the bitch. You do think it's bad? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's confused.
No. Like he's PC and shit because you have to be. Yeah. But like in everything else, like, yeah, he's quite a like nice, reasonably down to earth man.
Yeah. All right. No, I agree.
Yeah, it just seems like nothing phases him except for swear words.
And
that's
who's
pretty much
that? Who's that principal? Lady who's always with him now?
Samantha Armitage. And
is that
she's
her?
Not
is that...
fit to. She's... No, she's not in this because she came a lot later. But she's no Mill, let's put it that way.
No one's.
And she just has such a smug face. And that's the other thing that was great about Mill. She looked like a mum that thought that Vegemite was the healthiest thing you could possibly give your kids.
That's
great.
That is absolutely accurate.
I would prefer him much over England's version of him, which is...
That tit.
Yeah, that tit.
Pierce Morgan.
Yeah, Pierce Morgan. Fuck,
However, I would rather
anyone.
The girl that's with him is very, very good looking.
And they always are.
Who cares, dude?
That guy sucks. She is incredible.
Yeah, all right. Well, so are the Victoria's Secret models. I'm not going to get the news
from
them.
She's better than that.
Yeah, but Ali, I'm not looking for porn first thing in the morning. I'm not into like rubbing off woodies.
Yeah,
who
while you're
hell
eating
watches
your
it
corn
in the
morning? Flakes.
Oh, that's such a depressing thought. That just smacks of Centrelink, doesn't it? Eating cornflakes and jacking off to the morning show chick.
Jesus Christ.
You know what would be even more depressing? Because you wake up so late. Your morning chick is the show after sunrise, which is called The Morning Show with Larry Emder and that woman who I will bet you my life neither of you can name her.
No.
She's been there for 11 years. No one knows her name. I'm pretty sure her husband wakes up in the morning. She's like, happy birthday, Kathy. Lisa, on your day.
One of the two. All right, should we play it and then review it or what?
No. Before you do quickly, just to recap before you do. I have no idea who the Irish guy was, but he's just some like back dweddler. Hey, look, this is what he was, real quickly. He's a guy who had really high hopes and dreams of working his way up the media ladder to become like the pinnacle of maybe one day being like one of the guests on MasterChef, like the judges. Like he had these like high hopes, but what happened was the early 2000s chewed him up and spit him out. Purely because he's a talentless, useless piece of shit. So, like, that's basically...
that was the only reason.
Well, let me be the judge of that after watching this video.
All right. All right.
Truly talentless or not.
Dig this, Ali. This is Sonya Kruger. This is wearing a Che Guevara shirt. Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity.
A lack of understanding, leading light to what community.
How is his voice box wobbling that much? Is it attached to his body or does it just rattle around in there?
I think he had some rhythm.
Dude, he makes Kevin Rudd sounds like Eminem next to that guy.
Why are you singling out that man who's like, what is he doing now?
Dude, what is he doing now? He might be sleeping on the beach at Bondi Beach right now under a rock. Like,
King of the seagulls.
You know what?
He's in the seagull. He is a seagull now.
Dude, he gets flying back and forth from New Zealand being like shuckers on Qantas.
You know what he's doing now? I'll tell you in all honesty. I will put my bottom dollar right now that he's living happily with his mediocre wife and his mediocre kids in a mediocre part of the northern suburbs of Melbourne, and he has enough money.
Dude, that's harsh.
Yeah, life's harsh.
I bet you he has a computer shop that is exactly the same as the Chinese guy's computer shop next door to him, but they do everything cheaper than him.
No,
and he complains about losing business.
I think he's a tech billionaire now.
I think he came up with the software
that makes better sound.
You're right. This was all a prank. We just heard Mark Zuckerberg rapping.
Okay, well, should we ask the audience to check what he's up to now?
Yeah, okay, look up Sunrise, Where is the Love, just before Kevin Rudd and Joe Hockey busted out, which we need to get into next, because I'm sorry, I know that you want to pay for quality, and you are.
This is quality.
It is.
Yeah, and also give us money.
Because this is one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life, but before that, what is that guy wearing the Che Guevara shirt doing now?
Mr. No Name, because, yeah, I mean, no one will know his name. Good luck trying to find that. I reckon there won't be any information. There'll be way more information on the guy who sang Wasabi than him.
That's so true.
Lee Harding.
No, I think he's doing all right. I have a feeling. The fact that you kept saying mediocre so many times makes me go on his team.
Dude, that team is a sad one. I'm telling you. He
right,
might
fine,
have blown
right.
his brains out.
All right, so let's...
All right, before we begin, Kevin Rudd and Joe Hockey... are the next guests on this never-ending gift. Honestly, Miss Love, I didn't think that you could top Will I Am Singing E.T., but here it is. But on top of this, we're just going to play this, and then afterwards we're going to discuss why this is way scarier than The Ring. It's so terrifying.
It's so much scarier. The Ring is like child's play.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
It's Toy Story.
That's the reason sometimes I'm feeling under.
Oh, that's so cringy.
It's beyond cringy, dude.
And it's not even the cringiness that I'm scared of in that. For some reason,
it's insidious.
There's something very
There's an insidious...
We need to discuss this.
This is what it is, I think. There's an insidious, inherent, inane corruption and, like, kind of literally the face of, like, selling out. Literally the face of, like, everything has a dollar. Morality can be bought and sold in an instant. And that's what it is.
But don't you think there's something redeemable about both sides of the aisle getting together for
fake,
a little
dude.
Bit of a song?
It's so fake,
but
though.
That's what scares me is the composition of it.
Yeah, Joe Hockey and Kevin Rudd.
I don't know. I really don't understand. Like, it makes sense. Like, I understand the fakeness of it, but it's also the fact
what
that the green screen is so shit, and it's got like love hearts in the background. That's 50% of the scariness just there.
It's like it's like a Korean.
I mean, what year is this?
I bet it was 2004 or something like that.
No, so wait, Kevin Rudd is not the Prime Minister.
No,
this show made Kevin Rudd the Prime Minister.
Oh.
FYI, Ali.
I didn't know that.
Well, dude, the only reason he's Prime Minister now is because he was a guest star on Sunrise, and Sunrise was just gangbusters because Koshy's just a ratings machine.
Right.
Why does Kevin
Rudd
look
like... pretty much because
Koshy
used to always just be like, "Hey, you look like a good bloke to me, Kevin. Yeah. You've got your head on right. I like the fact you're wearing glasses." That's so the reason that he's Prime Minister.
Why does Kevin Rudd look like he's already retired?
Who? What do you mean?
He looks old.
He's old.
He's always looked like that. He always looks like pudding.
I think that
old
this,
pudding face. He only has glasses on, so you know where his eyes are.
I take that back, Jamie. I want to see Kevin Rudd once more.
I think Joe. Right. Guys, we're being. Joe Hockey's pretty terrible, too.
Yeah, look.
No,
he looks
Joe
like
Hockey's the part that scares me the most because he just looks like such a shady mafia don.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, they both look like they've like finished up with politics. This looks like after the cigar scene with Joe Hockey, and Kevin 07 is now giving TED Talks about China. They don't look young at all.
So true.
TED Talks.
And you know what else? All that's echoing through my mind is...
TED Talks about China.
Is Paul Keating just going, "You are really demeaning the office of Prime Minister by going on Sunrise"?
Dude, Paul Keating coming up with the goods every time.
Paul Keating's got a stick up his ass.
It just makes it so cheap.
No, but he's right. Dude.
No, this is look at them. Look how this is the same thing as Obama dancing on Ellen.
No, stop defending him. This is Satanism embodied. These are fucking...
He's right.
They're insane.
When he's right,
people.
He's right.
This is like... This is the fire of hell. It makes no sense. It's scary. There's not one element of this video that's not fucking frightening. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Like, even this shot. There's a shot that we've paused it on where it's the whole crew like centered in a stage. It looks like a fucking Illuminati meeting.
I 99% agree with you, okay. Mislav, but something does really redeem this, and that is Koshy busting out.
All right. Mama, people living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted
to the drama, only attracted to the things that'll bring you trauma. He's William Shatner. He's spoken word poetry.
It is jazz beat poetry, isn't it? Only thing that'll lend you to the trauma. You're just talking, dude. They edited
and
you
just
over
look at
the
that
top
shot.
Of
this.
Cool. He's unfazed with it. He knows that it's pathetic.
At least he
but
knows.
This is what I'm saying. Nobody, everyone else there is trying their hardest. That is the saddest part. From Prime Minister to the weather guy.
Yeah.
They actually think they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Koshy knows
true.
That this is shit.
That's true. I'll pay that. Koshy knows it's a
so
joke.
So in his head, he thinks he's really, really cool, right?
Mm-mm. Koshy, no. Everyone else thinks they're really cool. Koshy is just like, this
cool.
is beyond a joke.
Yeah.
Why have we all agreed to do this?
Yeah,
and he talks
yeah.
about it 10 years on. He's just like,
really?
I don't know how we all agreed to this, honestly.
Why
are we
showing up with
this?
A bit of some suit.
The producers, dude. Yeah. The producers are just like, I've got a great way to reach the kids. Like, fuck.
But yeah, also the other thing that really scares me about Joe Hockey and Kevin Rudd being together there is that it really highlights how restrictive the mainstream media is, but definitely was before YouTube, where the only message you could get out
scary.
Was you singing rap beats to a shit Black Eyed Peas song.
Yeah, on mainstream
like
TV.
Like the guy that's running for Prime Minister and the Treasurer.
I know. That's
and that's the time they're afforded to talk to the mums of Australia to sit there and be like, that's why I'm feeling down. Like, this is dystopic. It is.
It is. Dude,
it's
you're right.
It's the sign of the judgment day, boys.
But
it was
actually,
mentioned in the Bible.
Dude, you're actually right. Like, it's plain to see. Like, that was their 4 seconds to speak to the mums of Australia. And, you know, they got their message across,
yeah,
I guess.
They squeezed it out. Yeah. What is their message? What are they getting out of that? They're just getting profile. That's it. But the mm-hmm. only profile people have is, I saw him on Sunrise once. He looks nice.
Oh.
I think the project actually is right for constantly focusing on that with Bill Shorten and going, but you're down in the polls. That means something.
Mm.
It actually does mean something to suburban mums.
Yeah, of course it does.
Man, I
know. Of
course
it does.
I know, like,
think about politics.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with
policy.
Water management or
no.
schooling
no.
or the economy.
Just nice face. No, not even nice face. Is he a nice boy? Is he a nice guy?
Well, that's everywhere.
That's
dude, I know
much.
You.
He's nice to his mum, you can tell.
You can
There's so many scary Jordan, aspects to this, Ali. I know
you're dropping some dimes and I'm saying some profound shit, but the fact that, like, a piece of rice is dangling from one of the strands of your hair is really distracting. Why?
If nobody knew, I am currently wearing my Korean rice mask and very happy that we are currently transferring the video files from the previous video. So there is no evidence of this, but there is in my mouth. What a part.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows, dude. Everyone talks about it. In fact, like, some of them even give tips to Jordan. Like, have you ever thought about wheat?
Yeah, that's true.
Milo?
You know, you can mash the rice with a potato masher. It's not just for potatoes. And I did take that on board. Thank you for the tips. Keep them coming.
All right, we're going to... Do you want to review Salento as well before we move on to the meaty topics?
Is that all we've got?
I mean, I honestly...
No, I think that was meaty enough. I'm pretty...
Good on you.
There is a depth of... reality that I think we've just shattered here.
I mean, I could talk about this for, you know, 20...
You can't get that from acid, honestly. There's not a psychedelic drug on earth that is more trippy than that.
No, you're right.
If Jordan ever does acid, he would want to watch this.
No, if Jordan ever did acid, he would like shrink down, apparate, project this world, and he would just live in that video.
You would literally
you'd never be able to leave. And I wish I could do that too.
And you know what's really scary about that? I don't know if that's heaven or hell.
It's both.
It's like the end of a Twilight Zone video. Episode.
Yeah. It's like, that's what
Where
it is.
Where are you?
That's actually what it is. It's like, this video is total anarchy. I don't know where I stand. I don't understand what's going on. There's no right or wrong. There's no... What is right or wrong? Like, what?
It makes me question humanity to the core.
What is our purpose?
I mean, if the guy that's leading us all has to go on this...
and sing a Black Eyed Peas song. A Black Eyed Peas song.
This was not that long ago.
No. And I never saw it.
I want to know how long this was.
I'd never saw it. If I saw this, I reckon I would have like mentally clocked out a lot sooner.
Wait, I think I was late. This is some sad shit. But I remember because they just used to promo it so much, and I was such a fan of Sunrise.
I was too. We all were.
Sunrise, then American Rosso on the bus. That was the day.
Hell, hey! Shout out American Rosso. May I say,
legends.
Wait, so you could like listen to radio while you were on the bus?
No, you drive.
Yes, because I didn't live in Pakistan. Radio is not new technology to us.
Ali's just like, Walkman?
No, how did you...
I'm just trying to imagine...
Music in the box.
I'm just trying to imagine how it was growing up here.
Dude, we weren't in the... Me and Jordan...
That's what's
school
growing up in Australia. This was Howard's Australia. That. Just for 10 years. Koshy sitting there talking about trains being late and complaining about it.
Wait, okay, so you would drive... Your mum would drive you to school, right?
No, you drive Miss Love to school.
No. My mum would drive. My mum would drive me to the train station most of the time. But North Sydney. So it was like I got a good 15 minutes of American Rosso in the morning, which I loved.
And you took the bus because you were a poor cunt.
Yeah, because my parents didn't love me.
They also didn't have any money. But that's the point.
A bit from column A, a bit from column B, more from column B. And Jesus. So yeah, I was just on the bus listening.
Which is,
to
by
American
the way,
Rosso
like, sorry, just before we go on to this. This is something that I actually quite admire about Jordan in a sense. I mean, not admire, like respect.
Pity.
The fact that he grew up. I mean, besides the fact that he grew up in fucking Ballingen, but like he grew up in Bondi and he hung around this area and he knows a lot of people that were rich cunts.
Right.
He himself. I'd want to say middle class, but let's be honest, lower middle class.
Dude, let's be honest, working class.
Working class.
Working class.
Blue collar schmoes.
Yeah, blue collar.
And, you know, the fact that, like, and he killed it. And all of those other cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm sure they're nice people and everything, but they come from, and even you, Miss Love.
They're from the eastern suburbs of Sydney, anyway.
But, like, they come from really privileged backgrounds. And the way that, like, now I see them looking up to him, it's kind of surreal. It's a little interesting.
Dude, I will
and
pay that.
And also you, Miss Love. Like, you come from, like, a working class background as well.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't made anything of myself, but... Thanks. The sentiment still stands.
Yeah, I just wanted to extract
that. Yeah. You still use a texter to write down notes. You've made it.
And he's always been on like the window seat of affluence, Jordan. He's always been on the cusp of it, but never actually in it.
Look, we don't take many opportunities to talk him up, but like, dude, what he's achieved is pretty monumental. Compared to like a lot of my mates who are just like, oh, I can still smoke quite a lot of weed at parties. Like, you're nearly 30, right? Yeah, yep. Yeah. Anything else to your name? Also caps.
I got a feeling.
Yeah. I can play that fucking Tenacious D song, you know, tribute. I can play a tribute.
And I have an opinion on Tenacious D's album.
Yeah, great fucking legacy that you've really paved, you know, the way for others to follow, you know, your like narcissistic, self-obsessed lifestyle of being kind of good at guitar. Bravo. So like, you know, there is a lot to... I agree.
And also never folding.
Oh, shit, that scared me.
Oh, shit.
Okay,
oh,
that was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. That is my girlfriend. And in case nobody knows by now, she is a small Asian lady that looks exactly like the chick from The Ring. And she just popped up on the side of the door.
That was so sad. Should we pause it?
Sorry.
Okay, so we just watched The Ring in real time. We all basically had a heart attack. My heart skipped a beat.
And it still wasn't as scary as Kevin Rudd and Joe Hockey.
Nothing is... Dude,
we just had to explain it because Ali was going, we've been talking about this for 25 minutes.
It's not long.
And this is part two of you talking about Sunrise. And we was like, yeah, but Ali, just think of it this way. If your prime minister was singing Where Is the Love, wouldn't you? And he just went, yeah. I mean, we'd have to do at least seven parts on
it. At least. It's just, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to go home. I've only watched it probably like three or four times. I'm going to go home and watch it again. Because
you have to.
It's just absorb so it. Hard to fucking watch it alone. Because you're just like, is this, did I ingest acid with the peanut butter? I just say, like, this isn't reality. I can't comprehend it. But look, let's move on from...
How did we get... We're so obsessed. We have on our computer screen currently David Koch, and we have the Bible next to us, Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive 2009. I think this is what's going to happen when we move into our podcast studio. We're just going to have to deck it out in Koshy merchandise. Everything he's ever done, his bobblehead range. We're going to have to put an Adelaide Power jersey up because he loves that.
Holy
a picture
shit.
Of him with Samantha Armitage. Wait, a picture of him with Mel.
Is he from
a
Adelaide?
A picture of him with his hero, which is the chick that did that song. These are a few of my favourites. This. Oh, what an entertainer.
No, I can't fucking handle this shit. Oh, fuck. I need to move to Turkmenistan for some normality in my life.
No, we need to. I've got to do in-depth videos on why Koshy's a king. Anyway.
All right, can't. So daily dose of...
I can't do this shit.
Number two of Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive 2009.
2009?
10-year anniversary. Still solid advice. Good on you for surviving it.
Just quickly, just before you get into it, quickly...
Many did not.
Quickly, kindly remind our beautiful listeners how much money Koshy could save these people that choose to read his kind.
Yeah, according to the subtitle, this book could save you $10,000.
So that's basically think about it. This is a fact. That could potentially be a really extravagant lunch from Macca's. Think about that.
For $10,000?
You could do it.
What could you... You'd have to get the entire thing. You'd have to get everything on the menu... Yeah.
Many times
at least
over.
40 times.
There's but a fancy McDonald's in America where they serve things on a silver tray and you could get one of those meals for 10 grand.
There you go. Thanks,
anyway.
Koch.
All right, number two, do that household budget. Ooh, don't you know this, Miss Love? This is pretty much your entire life with your girlfriend, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Like I said, it's Barefoot Investor with someone with Down syndrome.
Yeah, that's the one I need, though. It's so simple a fool could follow it. Completing a family budget is such common sense that most people ignore it.
It's me.
Don't groan. Put the kids to bed. Clear the dining table. Get out your credit card statements and bank statements. Pour a glass of wine if it helps. And get out that pad and pen. You'll be amazed when it's written down where the money comes from and where it goes and how obvious some changes will be.
It's not bad advice.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's not bad
Most
advice.
Most people are afraid to do exactly that.
Yeah, Koshy's onto something there. I mean,
it's, but it's also like, this is kind of bullshit. This is like you. This is like him trying to say that, oh, you've never thought of this. Everyone's thought of it. They're too afraid to hand. Dude, but I know people that would not look at how much money they have in their bank accounts because it scares the fuck out of them.
Yeah, but I mean,
just looking at how much money they have, let alone like taking out your credit card statement and figuring out where your money is coming from and where it's going.
That's true. But the thing is,
I love how Ali's just been like, all right, all laughs aside though, that is a good point.
Fuck off, guys.
I'm not. It is a good point.
Holy
but like,
shit, dude.
No, I'm how can you not love this man?
And look, you know what?
What's to hate?
And I have to say, Ali, you have a point, but reading something reinforces, you can know something, but someone telling it to you changes the way you perceive it, and you are more likely to do it.
The thing is,
he's onto it.
Like, look, I like him, I respect him, and everything. But if Koshy was telling me something, I'm doing the opposite.
What?
He looks like a man.
Ali's onto something. Give him.
I think if he was living in like the 1800s, he would be in a circus. At best, he would be whipping the elephant, but he would still be in that. And I am not taking advice from that guy.
Are you off? See you too.
Oh, God.
See you soon.
She's claimed her soul and now she's going back into the well. Bye, ring.
Bye, too.
See ya.
See you too.
Take care.
I'll call you later. We'll get lunch.
I have to point. This is the time I have to point something out. We should really throw away all those other subjects. Let's just talk about Koshy's for the fucking full hour. There's no point fucking around. But look,
I'm thinking about how I'm going to title this. Like the first part, Koshy. Second part, Koshy.
Koshy
no
strikes
other.
Again.
It'll sell. Anyway, listen. This is a really important point here that you don't know. I assume because if you knew this, your opinion would change. Koshy's not a fucking entertainer. He's an economist.
Why doesn't he fucking act like it then?
He probably has more knowledge about the economy than Kevin Rudd. Because if Kevin Rudd was an economist, but he also reckons he could speak Mandarin. He could speak two words.
Really? Is that it? Shit.
Haven't you seen the video footage of him like trying to? The Libs leaked it back in 2007, just before he got elected. There was footage of him to a prompter. Riding.
Swearing.
He's just like, it's like
chucking a
like,
Bill O'Reilly.
He's like, Shane talks. He's like, oh, fuck. He's like, fucking language. It's fucking bullshit.
Dude, what is that?
He can't speak Mandarin. Just because.
Dude, of course Kevin Rudd can speak Mandarin. What the hell are you talking about? And also, he's not an economist. He studied international relations.
No, he was an economist. I swear. He was an economist. And
I'm pretty sure he wasn't an economist. But anyway.
Okay, but saying you can speak a language doesn't mean you can speak it. That's all I'm saying.
What is he talking? What do you have against Kevin Rudd? He's a sick cunt.
He can't speak Mandarin. That's what I've got against
him. I think he can. Can you speak Mandarin?
No, but he
doesn't. Then how do you know he can't?
Because I've seen video footage of him trying and it's fucking dismal.
Oh, are you talking about that video where he keeps saying fuck?
Yes.
That's all your fucking analysis is based on?
Yes.
But look,
what I'm saying is Koshy is an economist.
I've seen him conversing with a Chinese lady.
Yeah,
that's my basis of analysis.
Yeah, and this is all.
Were they talking in English or was he buying mandarins off her?
No, he.
Yeah, now that's speaking Mandarin.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, she was speaking an English accent. He thought she was speaking in Mandarin.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah. He said the sweet and sour pork was yum. He can't fucking, like, that's all he can do. All
right, whatever. Kevin Rudd's all right, man.
No, I got nothing against Kevin Rudd. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Does it change your opinion that Koshy's an economist?
No. Most economists are literally pests that should be eradicated.
Down the toilet.
In fact, Koshy's all right.
He's speaking some harsh truths here. I agree.
No, I agree with that too.
No, the fact that like, actually, I'll give him that.
Gamblers.
The fact that like he got out of it and he became like a Sunrise presenter.
Yeah.
That's fair. He got out of the sinkhole. Good on him for that.
Yeah.
All right. So are we moving on or are we going to... Talk about.
All right, just one more thing. I'm really proud of his spherical head, but we're going to keep going. It's almost as spherical as Searles. It's not enough. Send him more abuse saying Searles gets the girls.
So we could talk about the nuclear thing.
Hang on, but we could talk about that, but what's this? The Bob Kadish out of the bag.
Oh, I'll talk about that.
That's Miss Love. That's an interesting one, actually.
I've got to hear this.
Well, this is something I already conversed with you, Jordan, as you might remember on DM, or is it personal PM? Well, I can't keep up, but I messaged you personally on Facebook about it.
So basically,
gets bogged down in such ridiculously trivial shit.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, I bet you he sent me a letter because he's always lining up in Australia Post.
Yeah, I am always there.
Watch it called again. Mail, that's it.
Snail mail.
And you're sure this will get to Jordan?
This is. I'm putting a lot of trust in your hand here. What's your name? Jeremy? Yeah, Jeremy.
That's a lovely name.
Lovely.
You get old people so well.
Touch his cheek for a little bit too long.
That's a lovely
How
name.
Do you get old people? Did you grow up around old people?
No, I've just soul. I have a grandma. That's it.
But you,
I hung out with her
once.
What? Yeah. How often do you meet your grandma?
So rare, because she's a wog. I hate ringing up wogs, especially the longer you. You can back me up on this, Miss. The longer you don't call a female wog,
the angrier.
The angrier they're going to be, and there's just going to be as long as we talked about Koshy, they're going to talk about what a bad person you are for not calling.
And them.
The opposite of Koshy,
dude. I think is that like all grandmas. Huh? Well, I think my grandma's also a wog grandma. That's the problem. The longer you wait, the longer they're going to talk about what a horrible person you are for not calling them, and then they'll go on to like being normal again.
Yeah.
And every fucking time, if you meet them in a short span of time, they'll. And in fact, my grandma is about to die. So the first thing that she does is she will cry for about 5 minutes. And then she will complain about how bad of a grandson you are for about another 15 minutes. And then you were planning
life is
on...
so short.
And you were
You're wasting time. You could be watching SpongeBob. Yeah. SpongeBob could be... You could like one episode.
Exactly. And you're Miss thinking knows that live. You wanted to get out of there in like 10 minutes. Anyway, sorry, got deviated by my own grandma situation.
No, this is all good stuff. Don't be sorry. We're a podcast. We're supposed to explore every single... idea that we have, and because they're all awesome. Seriously, I'm not joking.
Talk about blowing your own trumpet. You think every idea that you've had is awesome?
Me and all of just exclusively us three have the best ideas in the country, maybe Southern Hemisphere. Where's the love, y'all? People chilling, people. That's
it's seconded. I'm sorry. We it's talked seconded. About that sunrise oh, sorry, okay. for 25 minutes, and we reluctantly stopped talking about it. Reluctantly, we have the best conversations in the country.
Absolutely.
So okay, so Bobcatter.
So this is the scenario for me. I mean, this has already sort of been settled. I guess I just want to tell our listeners. I'm in a political conundrum. I'm in a moral dilemma. But long story short, I agree with probably, I'm going to say like 90% of Labour's policies. Purely, look, the Gavin thing put a huge dent in it, and I understand.
10% in one action is a massive blow, if you think about it.
That's not all of it. But there was that.
He says that he likes 90% of their policies, but when that Gavin thing happened, he's like, that's it, that was the last straw.
A tenth out.
Pretty much. It's not just
I mean,
that
if
though.
A tenth because of a ship's why? Armor was taken out, it seems.
Because a backbencher signed a letter that was against Gavin. That's the reason.
Look, that's not all of it. All right. I'm sick of them playing. And Jordan's tried to like explain this to me, and he has in a very good way. But it wasn't enough. Sorry, buddy. But I'm sick of the identity politics. I'm sick of them playing that card. I'm not into the rhetoric of just like.
But what exactly do you not like about the identity politics?
All
dude,
of it.
That's a weird
all
question
of,
to ask Miss Love.
All of it.
What is it exactly you don't like about identity politics? Dude, he wanted to join a Christian militia. The only time he supported identity politics was when they cancelled Gavin and he wanted to join ISIS.
I know, it was on retrospect, because I kind of had my eyes half closed and was looking at Ali when I said that, but then I turned to him and I was just like, oh, that's right, he's from the Czech Republic and he's a gangster.
But listen, I'm not going to go into that. What I'm saying is like the identity politics is like the push on like immigrants are our strong point, and then like just playing the refugee card, all that kind of stuff is just it just puts.
But
a bad...
you're a goddamn immigrant.
Yes, I'm a legal immigrant.
Miss Up, what you need to understand is first of all,
but
there's huge factions within the Labour Party that are pushing for it, right? So Labour Right is very against immigration.
I don't see it.
No, but this is what you don't see, because you don't go to the faction meetings, but it is vicious. And the whole point of the Labour Party is that it has a huge compass of ideas.
Which is a
with
good
mainstream
thing.
Parties,
That's
right?
A fucking good yeah. thing.
And they have to get a consensus amongst a very broad spectrum right. of the community.
Right.
So if one side of politics is saying, you know, we're getting tough on immigrants, and then the other side of politics, what are they going to do? They're going to have to counter that with a message that's like, no, immigrants are our friends.
I know, but...
Here. So they need to soak up that vote.
Yeah.
But if you look at the actual numbers, the real numbers...
It's like 20,000 more a year or something, right?
No, but that's the refugees. That is a completely different number, and nobody really actually cares about the refugees. They think they care about it because the mainstream media constantly talks about it. The things that are taking Aussie jobs is legal migration.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the legal libs, migration that the libs has push. Tripled under
the Liberal
Party.
Particularly the ones that come from Croatia. I've done some research.
Goddamn tackies.
And again, it's not even migration. It is temporary migration that is killing jobs in this country.
I know
that. That has been tripled by the Liberal Party.
No, I understand.
And the Labour
that.
Party is going to stop that.
Okay.
It is all messaging.
Sorry?
It's all messaging.
I know, but it's just, I guess it's just more of a, it's not even policy. It's like a atmosphere and environment. And any sort of like narcissistic self-entitlement in politics, just, it's like fucking cat poison to me. It just turns me completely off.
You know what, man?
I think most of the country is on your side, which is why Labour is moving its messaging away. They're not playing identity politics. That's more of the Greens' realm.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, yeah.
Mostly what they're talking about, and this is what Bill Shorten's been saying a lot recently, is that I'm going to focus on the people of Australia, not Scott Morrison.
Yeah.
Which is all he's talking about, which is great. He's obviously seen that like identity politics is particularly poisonous to Australia. I don't know why that is, but they hate it even more than America does, and America despises it. 80% of the population despises it there.
Yeah.
But it turns Australians off a lot. So they're not even playing that card. And the thing is, you know the reason why they do that in America is because both parties are so abysmal and they don't help the general population at all, but they have to play identity politics.
Right.
It's the only way that you can win votes. But here... The Labour Party has actually afforded the position where it can talk about infrastructure programs and it can talk about what it's going to do for hospitals and education and the economy.
Yeah.
Because it's winning those arguments.
Yeah.
And on
so
top
they talk
of
about
that
mostly.
What you call identity politics is looking after self-respect of individuals.
Oh, yeah, that's sorry.
What?
Dude, we have to...
What are you talking
we
about?
Have to get... Look... Increase Patreon. When we get to 250 Patreon subscribers, I'll take it out of my own wallet even if it doesn't. But we just need to get those 250. That's the mark. And when we do, we're getting a shirt for Ali that says, hate stops here.
No.
And we're getting another one saying, yes, I'm a male feminist. Get used to it. We're getting the entire
and,
SJW range.
And we're also
and
getting the YB.
I'm not on that train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not
that
on
is
that
getting
train.
A
also getting
but
the
I
YB
am.
Islamophobic, racist, sexist, when you can just be quiet.
Yeah, one for
that.
Each day of the week.
Well, here's the thing. You guys joke about this, and I do take it lightly, but I think I am a male feminist.
Here we go. Why is that, Ali?
Okay.
Because I feel that every person, irrespective of their sex, deserves a fair go.
But you realize it's not
1820,
right?
I strongly disagree with that.
You know what shits
look,
me?
Look,
you know what
again,
shits
this
me?
Is,
you know what shits
I'm
me?
On this crusade, but yeah. I'm
no, like,
really
okay.
anti-isms now. I just
no,
don't like
I,
anyone
I agree,
saying libertarian,
because
conservative.
I just like... Look, here's the thing. I hate those isms as well, and I don't know what these terms mean anymore because like they're somewhat subjective to who's speaking them. That's why like even feminist or moderate or conservative, these things depend on who the fuck's saying them. They are not like this objective knowledge that exists somewhere and then people can ascribe to them. People just project their own values, their own biases and shit onto them, which is why like I wouldn't say I'm a male feminist. But some of the ideals, I mean, I'm not saying like you guys also agree with it. I think there's also no harm
like,
in just like sometimes
dude,
owning it as well.
Of course we agree with it. It's just that those
and
those
I'll
values...
vouch for these two guys. They're like... They're not slapping women every now and then. They're like...
I mean, I just,
very
I just,
rarely.
I just, I think
every now and then I get on a bus and just kick a cheek with Tourette's.
But this is the other thing. This is,
so, does that make me a bad guy?
But like some of the audience members, look, because, okay, if you only project the idea that people that say that they're male feminists are wankers, or just the fact that all of your energy on the pod, particularly because people that are listening to this don't know you otherwise, so they don't know your habits of like how you deal with women generally, they would assume that you have a pretty biased view on this shit.
It's not,
and which is not true. So maybe also project sometimes of how you think that
I'm for women. I'm sorry you feel like that, Ali. But like,
I don't feel like that. I know you. I know exactly what you are like. They don't know you.
But look, my honest opinion about that is kind of like,
I think our pod audience knows us pretty well.
Look,
they've been there on the journey when we've basically cupped each other and been like, "Yeah, your balls are a little bit heavier than mine, Ali. Good work. When was the last time you wanked today,
dude?
We're pretty.
I'm just about to now.
Okay, you can at least agree with this. Narcissism and virtue signaling and victim politics is a little bit more prevalent on what would be called the progressive side.
But don't you think it is? But don't you think you're doing exactly the same thing when you complain about that and you say, well, no one gives a fuck about us. What about like the white males that are like trying to like do it and paying taxes? No one...
because the entire establishment, the entire mainstream media, the entire psyche of like this sort of like bloated, like sort of self-righteous Western environment is not like that. It's like this sort of,
it's what you're seeing, I mean? As well. Like, dude, the progressives, the lefties, you know what they're saying? They're saying like, oh, they're taking over now. There's a resurgence. There's like a fucking rally over there. They're all, everyone's looking at what they kind of hate in a way because it amplifies.
No, I understand that, but like, put it this way.
That's
a good point, Ali.
I think
it's insane for anyone to have to argue that they're like pro women's rights. It's like, obviously, we're in the West.
No, but some people aren't, actually.
The West championed these things in, like, I don't know, the 1940s or something? Like, how are we still? It's going to be 2020, and we're still going to be like, don't catcall. Like, who has a woman, like, I'm sorry, no one catcalls women.
Yeah, that's why the West is also into identity politics as well, because they champion that shit, and it's a progression of that. There's always side effects to shit too.
Yeah, no,
but like, own that too. The fact that like,
it's just boring. It's like let's talk about like science and technology and like,
dude, you don't want to talk about science and technology. Don't pretend that you do.
I want to talk about Tesla and shit. I don't want to talk about do women have
it
harder?
Why is your newsfeed completely about SJWs? Like, if you were into Tesla, your newsfeed would be about fucking Tesla, but it's not. It's about cucks arguing. Like,
because
your...
that's too sorry to phrase
Look,
a junky
away
word,
from
and
I'm
like
away
I feel really dirty saying this, but that's the toxicity of this argument. Is that
identity
politics kind of just sucks you in, doesn't
not,
it? And
not,
once it sucks you in,
not
you
to
can't
everyone.
Get out.
I can look at my YouTube now. It will have a lot of crap, but it wouldn't have any of this crap because I actually don't give a fuck about it.
I'm moving away from it too.
The only time that I watch it is when you send me some dude sitting at a university campus and saying, whatever, like male rape is a myth. Disprove me or whatever,
Louder with Crowder, possibly the shittest guy on YouTube.
That's the only time that I watch
him. So bad,
I can't watch him. Yeah. But I don't even know how he got onto this.
Can somebody defend that? Yeah,
no,
we're
talking about
Bob Catter. Basically, you were saying that you're moving away from Labour because of identity politics, and I really need to address this in a video, but I don't know how to word it properly for the election, because you can tell just by the trend of the way things are going. Just like for the last couple of elections in Australia, it's all been about the economy, but it's moving away from that purely because the Liberals can't argue that anymore. It is proven that they are woeful.
Yeah.
You know, out of 24 points of matching the criteria of where the Liberals, when the Liberals came in 2010, they said, we've got this 24-point plan for managing the economy better, and if we're not better than the Labor Party at all 24 points, you can vote us out guaranteed, which, great. That sounds really good to get like a party elected that has the same advertising strategy as like secondhand car dealership. But second...
But second, Mario's after. On Parramatta Road.
Yeah. And if we don't beat Luigi's next door, then you get the car for the same price. The same argument.
Yeah.
But then, anyway, so they were using that. And it turns out, when they manage the economy for about the same time as the Labour Party, they are worse on 23 out of 24 of those points.
Yeah. And you know, and like Chomsky said, like I'm particularly agreeing with you. Like Chomsky said, the Republican Party doesn't talk about the economy because they have nothing to say about it. So they deviate the public debate onto things that don't really matter. Identity politics included.
Yeah,
it's both sides are guilty of doing that.
They are.
However, the liberals, I would say more so because they're in a much worse position to be talking about economy. So if they're talking about identity politics, even if they're saying like, well, look at these immigrants taking over, maybe they're trying to like deviate you from the right topics.
Definitely.
And that is all the Murdoch press is focusing on.
Yeah, but
they're not talking about the economy at all. They're just going, ugh, Labour passed another LBGT. Yeah. You know, Labour used to be about working for the honest man.
Yeah.
They never focused on that before. It was all just destroying the economy. But now they're just focusing on this identity politics thing. And at the end of the day, it is a myth. The only thing that I disagree with Labour when it comes to on identity politics, and I strongly disagree with this, and I think all the evidence backs it up, I think it is obscene to put in quotas to anything.
Yeah.
It completely eliminates meritocracy.
Totally.
And there is ample evidence for this. It was the same in South Africa when they just made it that, you know, whites are 8% of the population, so they only 8% of like a power factory can be white. But they were the ones that were educated.
Mm.
And then you put all these people that are like barely educated running power.
Mm.
So nobody has electricity anymore. This is how it works. It's the same thing in colleges in the US that they've just tried to make it like, it has to be reflective of the diversity there. Which, first of all, like, you're just sitting there just being like, white people. But it's also like, it's mostly Asians that get in, like at a hugely disproportionate level. And it's not like Vietnamese immigrants had it easy coming in, but now they can't get into elite universities despite the fact that they
Harvard
are the educated ones that should be going there. It's the same with Pakistanis and Indians.
Yeah.
They're all getting skewed for blacks and Latinos.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
Harvard's
the blacks
rejecting
and Latinos,
Asians.
Once the blacks and Latinos get in, there's some that legitimately earn their position there, and they're the ones that excel. But there is this huge swath of blacks and Latinos that can get in on a 900 when you're supposed to get in on a 1600 to these places. And they get in on a 900. And so when they graduate from these places, they can't get a job because they're underqualified.
Mm.
It doesn't actually help anything.
Look,
to do
that's,
these
that's...
And you know what it is? It's this quick fix thing of like, why what you're not doing is improving the education standards in those communities.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just handing out these little things to make yourself feel better.
That's true.
Like, and
it's a quick, stupid solution.
That's a very debatable thing. I think you have a very strong point over there. And this is a common problem, not just affirmative action in the U.S. Like even another case
study.
Affirmative action is exactly
same
what
thing,
the quotas
thing, right.
At university.
Right.
Exact same thing happened in India, where they have this whole religious structure of caste system, right?
Yeah, brutal.
Brutal, absolutely brutal. Whereas what's happened is that the lower caste, with these centuries and centuries of being backwards, in fact, being shunned away from any kind of economic or political opportunity, once after the independence, that they have their own version of affirmative action. And then eventually they were put in quotas at universities, jobs, which led to like a lot of underqualified, because there's obviously like this huge baggage of being uneducated, into positions of power, which eventually reduced the quality that of the institutions where they were functioning is probably the politest way to put it, which is also something that happened. And there's a big debate, but the other problem is, Jordan, like I agree with you as well. Quotas are actually, it's a quick fix, but it's in most cases, not in all cases, but in most cases, leads to a bad outcome for the institution itself.
And the people.
But what do you do? Because the problem still exists. You can, I can understand that you might not want to go for quotas. How do you make sure
improve
that people
schools.
That are like in this cycle
improve
of
public
backwardness
improve public schools?
Not
well,
everyone,
but
on top of that, just understand that some cultures are going to value education more than others and be cool with that. Just be brutally meritocratic about it. Because this is the other thing. This is actually hurting economies in the West now. Because the people that should be going to these elite institutions, like, okay, I did not get the marks to go into Sydney University.
So you can't
I'm
go.
I'm too stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
same.
Fine.
Same as me.
I'm not in that position in life. So I've got to hustle some other way.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not going to be a quantum physicist.
Yeah.
Okay?
I had to go to Strathfield Uni, for fuck's sake. ACU. Dude, is that Australian Catholic University.
Oh, wait. I went there for a year. That's a thing. Okay.
And then I worked my way up to Macquarie. She, the 1% fluctuates in and out.
It's all about hard work.
No, I can...
But then...
At the risk of actually going against...
China, South Korea, Japan, all of them are mercilessly meritocratic. And they're just like... But if you say to them... Yeah, but these guys are from rich families, so obviously they're going to get into the elite schools because they've had the necessary education to get there. They just be like, so what? They smarter. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. And that's the way it should be.
Okay, so let's take ABC for an example, right? They might have, there's quotas of, and I actually know someone, like if you think this is a myth, I literally know someone at law school whose job at the ABC is to make sure that in every department, the gender balance is right, the diversity ratio is right. That's indirect, like quotas, right?
Yes, insanity.
No, it's incredibly bizarre.
I mean, it's also...
I like how your tone down of that is not insanity. It's not... Let's just say it's extremely bizarre.
I just...
And wait a sec. Does Labour push this more than... Is that like a key Labour
You'll
policy?
Find... Okay, the best way to put it is like you'll find more sympathisers in Labour for such a policy than the Liberal Party.
Right.
I still... Look, but the ABC is also kind of a joke. Because it's not a private institution. What about the fact that within the ABC, you get people like, quite honestly, like the person that was doing this job at law school is a piece of shit because she comes from an influential background. Her parents were also something, they had something to do with the ABC. And she got in because she was in a privileged position because she just was born around
that's
people
that's a problem
that
too.
Were well-connected. And
that's true.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's also a pretty big problem, which I think is even a bigger problem.
Nepotism. But again, that's not meritocracy. That's pretty much what you're
arguing
for.
But how do you ensure that nepotism would not prevail without giving opportunities to people that have clearly no nepotism because they come from less fortunate families?
Look, take the ABC, for example. When they go, oh, yeah, we've got these quotas and we've got all these women here and we've got all these Aboriginals, they're from elite private schools. It's fake diversity.
Right.
That's true. And that's also quite
accurate. And they're all from extremely privileged backgrounds. And what's most annoying is they turn around and use our taxpayer dollars from fucking working class families to lecture us on how privileged we are.
I agree with that. Because and because
see,
like,
it's not about race. It's almost like a class thing.
It's a class thing.
Yeah.
Because like he's right. Like okay, Jordan's example is quite relevant here because he's been fucking at it for a long time. And if you're listening to this, you probably like him and you feel that he's talented. He is like I said, like he comes from a working class. Like he doesn't have that sort of reach areas, which is why he was like always shunned away. And I know, look, you might think that Jordan's not that talented, and that would be that I can agree with in a sense, but not agree with, sympathize with the opinion. However, some of the people that do get these, no, I'm just saying, like what I'm saying is like, look, if someone thinks that Jordan's not talented enough, that's why he didn't get into it. Yeah, he can. What I'm saying is, like, let's say there's a person who feels that he's not talented enough. That's why he didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Stop whining about it.
Right.
Even if I can agree with that, there's a lot of people that did get it that clearly don't deserve it.
Fucking universally, the ABC. Name one.
So universally, Sean McAuliffe. That's it. And why? Because Sean McAuliffe busted his ass.
Right.
But he was from an old school, and he was just so undeniable, and he just worked for so many years that he finally got there. Yeah. But everyone else from the ABC comes from an influential family, and that's why the comedy is terrible now. When you go back 10 years ago, the comedy was. And look, there's also the fact that the internet's come now, so nobody's watching TV anymore. But that is not an excuse for. 10 years ago, the ratings for comedy channel shows being like 2.5 million. So, water cooler talk, things that people would like, they were like married at first sight back in the day.
The
That's
Chasers
how good the comedy
good.
Show.
I thought the Chasers was good in their peak.
But you know what?
I've got my differences with Jordan... them. I think they're shit. But anyway, okay, like we'll move on from that. Chris Lilley was great.
Yeah, Chris Lilley was good.
The Glass House was really good. There's all these very good shows that the ABC used to make. Now the views are 20,000. Even when you factor in the fact that the internet has taken a huge chunk out of television. That is not excusable for that. That is a direct result of these quotas just hiring all these privileged little punces that are just like, I'm funny, my friends think I'm funny.
But you know what? Okay, I'll say a couple of things about it and I'll give an example.
Yeah.
So I agree with what you're saying. However, having said that, if you are, and this might, and it's unfair, But still, if you are truly talented, you're like a bubble in a fucking soft drink. Like, you'll rise up. And even if you get the opportunity and you're not talented, you'll fucking sink like a pebble. This is a weird example that, Miss Love, you might not appreciate. But, like, for example,
I like
in Iraq, during the Saddam Hussein regime, his military people who sort of got up and were the generals, who were clearly talented enough to be generals in this, like, I'm not, like, supporting this or anything, but, like, in whatever fucked up way, they were talented. Eventually, when the U.S. invaded it, they purposely sort of shunned them. They eventually became the generals of ISIS and then rose again. What I'm saying is, if you're good,
he's right.
You'll he's fucking right. get up, yeah. and no ABC would be able, like,
no, they can't stop you. Yeah. That's 100% true. That's basically well, like what annoys shit. Me about it, though, is that it is the thing that I've figured out from all of this from years of studying politics. I don't actually really care about people. I'm like quite a misanthropist. I'm extremely sensitive when it comes to the environment. If I see someone step on a snail, I'm just like, yeah. could have just walked around. you know? But when it comes to people, I don't give a shit about them. I just find most people extremely self-absorbed, annoying.
These are
like,
facts. These are unfortunately facts.
Don't
you're
think
right,
like
yeah.
it's what you're. Miss Love said the truest thing I've ever heard in my life. What? Look, we've said a lot of words in this podcast, and it's all sifted down to this, which is that 80% of people are fucked.
Yeah,
like unbearable.
Yeah,
that's my view of the world.
It's pretty accurate, man.
Talking to most people, right? Yeah. But the thing is, what really annoys me about government and why I'm so passionate about it is because, and it's. It's just autism incarnate, isn't
it's
it?
It's just but numbers.
I care about efficiency. I really care about efficiency.
Right.
That's the thing that annoys me about
quotas. It's the reason why you're... This is a revelation. So you're saying that the reason why you're so interested in politics is similar to an autistic person who can't handle that the frame is slightly tilted and you want to put it back.
It's just a much more complicated frame.
It's a giant
I'm looking
frame.
At the picture and I'm trying to...
That's incredible. That's kind of like what's the word I'm looking for? Admirable, though.
That's not. You could say a lot of things about it. You can't say it's admirable.
It's admirable
because that just makes it so shallow.
But what's your drive in politics? Why do you study it so much?
It just gives me intellectual kick, to be honest with you. Like
that's true.
Not that I really, really would like to say this, that it's because I feel for people and I want... And look, I'm not
there's
like...
Some truth
I'm not
to that.
Sadistic.
There's some truth
and I would
to that.
Want people... But like, to be honest, even like doing something charitable, it kind of gives me an intellectual kick. That's why I do it.
I mean,
which is
both,
why I'm always fucking afraid.
Both.
You know why I was watching People versus O.J. Simpson?
Yeah.
And it scared the shit out of me?
Why?
A lot of times I'd be like, oh, God.
It's a good show.
It's a good show, yeah. But like what scared the shit out of me? Because clearly you should be the prosecutor and you should be putting a man who's guilty behind you. But like, I'd be like...
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
And I would look at that and I'm like, dude, I want to be the glove guy, man.
Of course, everybody wanted to be the glove guy.
But that's
no,
a
but
different
like,
argument.
No,
that's
but
a
that's
different
fucked.
Argument.
You should not be.
No, but like, look, you want to be on an id level because it's just funnier to be that guy.
No,
because he said that.
I wanted to do that because I'd be like, it'd be kind of cool to get that guy out of jail when he's clearly guilty.
That actually is a reason that you would be a prosecutor.
That's a bit evil, though, isn't it?
No, it's not right. And it scares the shit out of me.
No, it's fine because, look, there's a dark side to everybody that you must embrace.
True.
And the thing is, look, the dark side of me is I like to use my charisma to prop things.
Yeah.
I think that the dark side of me is that dude in the Hunger Games that...
The
TV host that's always just being like, oh, and the guy from District 12 just got his head cut off, sorely missed, coming up after the ad break. That's my hero in life is that dude.
What the fuck are you talking
about?
I'm
saying that's the dark side.
Right.
But actually, you probably don't have a dark side, Miss Love. You're all light.
No, he doesn't have a dark side.
That's actually the
reason why I wanted to be friends with him.
Really?
Because I couldn't locate it. I could look at you. There's other things to admire about you. There's certain things about Miss Love that I'm like, oh, that's kind of fucked. But like, why do I want to be friends with him? It's because I think he's got a clean heart.
He does.
Shitting on fucking refugees all the time. Believe it or not, is
he
a good
does
person
it because it's funny. That's
no,
why
I don't
he doesn't do it for
funny.
That reason. He's genuinely.
I don't shit on refugees. I'm for
he does,
sensible
but you do
migration.
Shit on refugees.
I'm for
refugees.
Laughs.
No, I
all
don't.
All the time, you always just go, Look, I was going to tolerate the fact that Labor was going to let in three more refugees. That's basically
what my problem is. I don't know about the dark thing, but my problem is I'm like basically a woman. So I can flip on a dime if someone convinced me. I was like constantly can just easy to change my mind. And two, like, it's like actually very emotional. So like if one like imagery has like such a fucked effect on me that, like, you know, Sunrise might as well be like a propaganda fucking chief of like Australia. Like one, like imagery, like an image of something that like is sort of like powerful or whatever, I'd be like, well, there goes every value I ever had. Back to the drawing board. And it's like, that's kind of my, and it's kind of annoying. Like, it's kind of annoying.
You could convince this guy to do anything.
But I try to be.
I'm telling you this. You could convince Miss Love.
It's true.
To do anything. The problem is he won't stick with it until he meets the next person who'll convince him to do something else.
Dude, I am a huge.
That's very true.
I'm trying to change that about myself.
How confused would he be in Rwanda?
Yeah, like, dude.
Fuck Tutsi. Oh, wait, no. Tutsi's all right. Fuck Hutu.
Yeah, he would just keep running around in a circle until someone shot him in the head.
Pretty much. Then that's why, like, politics gets me so, like is so emotionally draining and taxing, because it's like I want to come from a place of like the right thing to do and the logical sensible thing to do, but then it's like it's like philosophy, so it's just this endless push and pull of like, well, like I listen to Ron Paul, I'm like, yeah, he's speaking sense, and then I listen to like Chomsky and I'm like, yeah, he's speaking sense. I'm like, how can they both make sense to me? They're like polar opposite opinions,
but dude, they're not.
Well,
one calls themselves a libertarian, the other one calls themselves an anarchist, which is basically the same thing if you think about it. I mean, it's a little different. True. They have like, but Ron, you, I can imagine someone to be a fan of Ron Paul and Noam Chomsky.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
I think the difference is that you actually do care about people, Miss Love.
Yeah,
whereas Ali and I don't. And
bizarre.
What's really sad is that misanthropists, I genuinely think this should be leaders of a society. Because they're the ones that are like Winston Churchill that did the Dunkirk thing of just like, okay, so we either sacrifice those 4,000 people or those 300,000 soldiers are dead. And she's like, well, yeah, just sacrifice 4,000 people.
Yeah.
But that's 4,000 people's life. Yeah, but just 300.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I reckon both Ali and I can make that call on a dime. And
that's
just like,
true.
Well, I'm getting pretty tired. Night, guys.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
go to
yeah,
sleep.
Yeah. Whereas
you would not be able to do that.
No. Dude, literally, I would be like going, it'd be like, okay, we're going to have dinner and then we're going to go to like make the call if the 4,000 died. And I would just be like at the like ramen bar being like, pork, but like pork and seaweed.
Yeah, just today at the fucking ice cream place. He took ages. Like the chick was pissed at you.
It's
dude.
Getting worse. I'm taking longer at shit like that. I used to be more decisive with that shit. So like indecisive, way too emotional, can't sort of easily manipulated. Like it's the worst thing for an army general. I'd be like, I would make. Look, I'd probably make decisions if I had to, but like, I just wouldn't sleep. They'd be like, you look like shit. I'd be like, I stressed all night about the war, and then I watched like 10 hours of Alex Jones. What are we gonna, you know what I mean? Like, it's difficult, but I still, I don't know if you guys would be the same, but I still sort of try, and maybe this is like a stupid idea if you think about it, but I still think of myself as trying to strive to be like centrist. Maybe that's stupid because maybe that's a cop out, but like it's not because I don't think it's because I don't think of it as
I don't
a cop
think,
out.
I don't think you should term it as centrist. I think you
but
should
you know
just term
I mean?
It as like
common
I'm open.
Change.
I'm open to changing my ideas.
Like I like the idea.
And
of,
he is very
and
open.
He is,
to
he
it.
Is yeah, too open. To
I like I like the idea of this is basically what this is to tie it back. If Bob Catter had way better environmental policies, pretty much down the line, I think. It's like, I like the idea of being progressive.
I do like Bob Catter. He's basically Noam Chomsky in a cowboy hat. But he just has no sympathy for frogs. And I'm not on that train.
Me too. I like the idea of being progressive.
You're gay, so it's okay.
I like the idea of being progressive because the nature of the word progressive means change. And you have to fucking change. You can't stay stagnant. So it's like, the word conservative is sort of like, problematic in that sense. But then, but progressiveness for the sake of progressiveness is fucking stupid.
But you should always look at these terms the way that they are actually supposed to be meant, like you're saying. Mm. So, for example, like George Bush is considered to be a conservative, right? So,
and he is, I would say, a very good example of that, right?
No. The fact that he decided to go into Iraq
is
an extremely progressive thing.
Yeah, that's like a neocon, right? That's like a...
These terms can mean whatever. Like, what I'm saying is...
They don't
like,
mean shit anymore.
So the fact that progressivism basically means that you look at something
and you say,
I can make it better. Or we can try to make it better by going into this uncertainty. A conservative is also, a more reasonable position, which is that, look, this situation is functioning in whatever way. There might be holes into it. Let's not try to go into uncertain areas and make it worse.
Yeah.
Let's try to tweak this around. And conservatives don't mean like they don't like change. What they're saying is that the change will happen organically. Eventually.
See, now I've just changed my flip-flopped again.
So what I'm saying is that these terms of like, again, like it's the same thing as like feminist and like what all of these isms.
Mm.
There's
a problem with them, isn't there?
You know who is truly, and as I've said 1,000 times, I've always got to use this disclosure of I don't believe any of these, but the best example of a conservative leader is John Howard.
Yeah.
His whole book is him justifying why he didn't do anything as prime minister.
Yeah.
You know, he did less in 11 years than Julia Gillard did in 2. Entire book is just him sitting there going, well, the reason I didn't do anything about climate change, it doesn't matter if China doesn't do anything about climate change. Right. No, I didn't see a reason to reform the tax system. It was fine as it was. Not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah.
You know, John Howard was a truly an ideologue. One of the things that I read of his was so eye-opening and it made sense. So one of the reasons why... during his term, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was some sort of recognition of Aboriginals or some sort of a treaty request that he was supposed, and this is the reason that he gave for not doing that.
Mm.
It wasn't like fuck those guys or whatever.
I know what you're gonna say. Is it the thing where it's just like, well, we didn't do it, it was our ancestors.
It was a very ideological point of view, and it makes sense if you think that way. He was saying that we are... So he's truly like a conservative liberal man. So he said that we are a society of individuals. The fact that like we as a group of people don't exist. And that goes to like a really old English tradition.
That's old school.
This is old school liberalism.
The idea of liberty and private property and self.
Exactly. Yeah, and all of the rights exist within like the individual.
Ideas,
I mean, it was a very progressive idea at the time and everything.
Well, I mean, yeah, like group.
So he didn't want to recognize the indigenous population on the basis, not because they're indigenous, but because that is going away from the ideology of individualism.
Wow.
And that's when I looked at the guy and it didn't seem like something that you would make up. And I was like, yeah, that guy's an ideologue.
Wow.
And he truly believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's not saying that based on the
color
of the skin.
No, I do have a lot of respect for John Howard in comparison to most of the upper liberal leaders. Tony Abbott and John Howard, because both of them are
legit
principled human beings.
Yeah.
At the very least. You don't agree with them, but it's not the same as someone like Malcolm Turnbull or Scott Morrison that just say whatever to get there.
Yeah.
That is the true evil in society. You know what I've decided recently? Is how you can tell that someone's truly an evil person.
Mm.
If they say, if you give them all these reasons for why their job is evil, and then their response to it all is, yeah, but if I wasn't going to do it, someone else would be doing it.
Yeah,
so I'm going to keep doing it.
So immoral.
It's so immoral,
so
isn't it?
Immoral.
It proves that you have zero morals.
Literally.
You just do anything for a
paycheck. Yeah.
And I think it's the truest thing in the Bible, which is that the love of money is the root of all evil. I think that's the only evil in the world. Is true. Like they're right about that.
How
it's just
wonderful.
The pursuit of profit.
We can all agree on that point.
The love of money.
Don't you think? Don't you reckon that that's where it gets? That's when someone is a bad human being, and anyone else.
But
after
you know
that
what it
is
also.
Misguided, or they're right.
I would say the exact.
But like John Howard was not a liberal prime minister because he was in it for the power or the money or anything.
Yeah.
It was because. He was a conservative man. Like, he wanted Australia to be exactly the same as it was in the 50s.
And he
didn't
wrong.
Want a single change.
Australia was pretty cool. So, I understand why you'd want a conservative as well. Dude, he even said that a society doesn't exist. It's a nation of individuals.
I mean, that does sort of speak to me, those ideas. Like, 'cause as soon as, you know, I mean, not like exclusively, but like, you know, when you start to think about like, especially, I mean, I don't want to go to like identity politics, but as an idea, as an example, like mob mentality and sort of like, you know, like a lot of the social unrest now in America is just like Antifa versus this group versus blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you have to say there is this sort of like tribalism that comes with groupthink, where it's like easy to be a lot more dramatic, you know? If you have this idea that it's like each person is like like their own master and like truly
but there's okay.
then do you know what I mean?
Like I know what you mean, but yeah. there's this opposing view which I can respect that. And if you truly believe what you're saying from that ideological point of view, I'll give credibility to it too. But then there's this other factor that misses out, and that's justice. So even within John Howard believing individuals and not society and not recognizing indigenous population, that's a sort of a justice travesty on the part of this group of people
I don't think that's probably a fair because you can't deny fairness and liberty. Yeah, you can't
are
deny
sometimes
race.
Quite opposite.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, because you can't at the same time someone can be like, I'm
who
an individual.
Said that?
But
who's that black CNN host? Dude, I love that guy.
What's
his
name?
Name?
I don't know. If
we both
name.
Like him.
I forget his name.
Why is Don Lemon coming to mind?
Because no, not Don Lemon. Not like Don Lemon. not him. The guy who was in the Obama campaign.
A very attractive bald head.
Yes, that guy.
I don't know why. It's just so shiny. Good on him.
He's mad. He's actually really
cool.
No,
he's really
funny. And he went to this Trump house.
You know who? You know what's really funny? This is so pathetic. Just to ruin any credibility I have the whole time.
Oh.
I was thinking
Jones.
Jones. Dude, okay, that guy's sick.
You know who
he,
I was thinking
he says
of?
The exact same thing.
I was thinking of the host from ERT, the black guy.
Real liar.
No, there's a black guy that's a host on ET. And I was like, they must be mean him. So dumb.
Oh, the guy with dreads?
No. He's another bald guy that's just like, I love Hollywood. But anyway.
Anyways, yeah. Well,
but look, but I think that you're right. Like,
was thinking of Seal, sir.
I think you're right. Like, to be it's almost. I think it's a really cool and important idea to see the individuals as like their own autonomous beings that like resonate at their own vibration. They have no. They don't have what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have a responsibility to be aligned with another person for any fucking reason.
It can
reason.
Be a heartless system. However,
No, I'm saying yeah, I agree yeah. with that, but at the same time it's kind of a cop out when if you just eliminate the idea of like societies, then
no,
it's like
because
well,
be pretty bad the other way too.
Yeah.
Because just the idea coming back to the quota system that you're talking about, that's quite diametrically opposite to the ideology of individualism. And that comes to the greater justice system, and it can lead to horrible situations. So for even like let's say Rwanda, Hutus killing Tutsis.
Mm.
You could argue from that justice point of view that the reason why they were killing Tutsis was because they had been grieved for some other reason in the past, and it was cosmic justice for them to do it. You wouldn't be able to do that with an individualistic ideology where like everyone, irrespective of Hutu, yeah. Tutsi or whatever, deserve the same amount of respect. So it has its advantages, and this collective justice can go horribly wrong, and I recognize that too. There's flaws in both.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I don't hate someone who comes from either perspective.
I'm the same. But I guess I'm just torn between it, because sometimes, you know, it's like this thing of like, I think it's good to have sort of, I guess, like a social responsibility, it seems logical to me to have this basic core level of social responsibility. Let's say the government represents all people, or like it's supposed to represent all the people. Like the way Australia's done it, Medicare, public, reasonable public healthcare, reasonable public education. It's like a libertarian would argue that it's like none of that funding is needed, because it's like, again, like this idea of we're all in for one. But then that seems practically like a pretty good idea. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can be a libertarian.
I think you perhaps need to, I guess we can agree on this. It needs to be a blend of both.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
But you've got to live in a society with friction then.
Yeah, it's just...
You should be prepared fights, including your fight with identity politics, guys.
Yeah, but dude, like, you know, mob mentality and like you said, that collectivism, that doesn't promote peace. Like any less than individualism. Like that's like crazy.
Yeah, or any more or any less.
It's human nature. It's human nature. I mean, look, fuck it. It'll happen in China, or a one party communist, you know, quote unquote party. It'll happen there. It'll happen in America. Like diversity of ideas, and whether it, like, look, it's like individualism is going to create a huge diversity of ideas, and there'll be clashes. Same with mob mentality. It's just two big fucking groups. It's the same result. So it's like,
yeah.
They're almost just like, it's a philosophy. I mean, I don't know. I think like,
but they both have their value.
At the end of the day, though, it's just like, fucking philosophy. Does it have a value? I don't think it does.
I don't know.
I think that I philosophy know. Is a waste of time. Prove me wrong.
It's a fair call.
I really think that there's, honestly, I've tried so hard to get into philosophy. I've
dude, listened do you know to why all you these say podcasts, that?
And then I've just come to the conclusion after listening to you, be like, okay, this is a complete fucking waste of time every time.
That's because you're autistic.
I'm autistic.
No,
show me the facts.
You know,
show me that. Like, honestly, there is sometimes when, like, no, this is why I'm so sick of the left and right paradigm, right? Yeah. Because there is moments where you're just like, yeah, Australia benefited a lot from liberalizing its economy. It's undeniable. The facts are there. Like, child poverty reduced. The wages went up.
Yeah.
The economy is allowed to grow three times what it was before that. These are all things facts. That benefited the country,
you
right?
You can't deny them.
But having said that, I'm really glad that they didn't go overboard like Reagan did, to the point where he's just being like, yeah, everything's just a casino now. You know? there's a point.
Totally,
totally. You know, like, I think it's just centrist, everything at man. The end of the day is just people are too lazy to read numbers.
You know, but that's exactly what the Age of Enlightenment people said. Because really? After the Scientific Revolution, there were so many papers that were arguing that philosophy is now irrelevant.
It's kind
because
of, it's
you, during well, I Aristotle, you needed to answer these questions because you didn't have the means. And after the Age of Enlightenment and the Scientific Revolution,
you had
philosophy has become redundant.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that idea is the most romantic, is the most because it's the most grounded in reality. Like for a lot of people, like especially like some of my mates that I know, like their whole fucking life is in this like ethereal sort of like haze of like, well, maybe this, maybe that, nothing really is real, nothing really matters. And it's like bullshit. It's so stupid. So like that idea is the most romantic to me, to be like, well, look at the figures. And you're like, well, they literally don't write. They're malleable because, you know, the figures, how we got to those figures, there's a million ways. It's like, well, maybe if we did this, but it's like, if you just generalize, there's a cause and effect. It's a pretty fucking good way to look at reality instead of just being like, well, what if we all had fucking top hats? Like, who gives a fuck, you know? So I think it's the most appealing thing to
all
me.
The stars.
It's the most appealing thing to me to this kind
and
of
And on top
shit
of that,
as you
true,
get older,
it's just reality
as
is
you get
stranger
older.
Than fiction.
It is way stranger.
It's much more interesting. The real world is more interesting than these esoteric
Absolutely,
ideas that are malleable and
everybody
has like their different opinion and slant on what these are. But at the end of the day, it's just a first year uni lecture over and over.
I'll pay that. Surely.
No, sorry, not even a lecture. A choose.
No, dude, I enjoy philosophy. I understand what Jordan's
saying.
You
know
saying,
why
that's
he
a very strong.
Because he's an Aquarius.
Oh.
That's true. That's the reason. Look, right. Ali just likes having his brain stimulated.
But that's cool.
That's pretty much the end of it.
But no, dude, the only... That's mad. And I do too, to an extent. But the only reason all of us, I would say, don't kill each other is because, first of all, we're not fucking complete idiots that just think that politics is fucking sport. So you're just like, well, that's my team. Let's punch on, you know? But like also because like we all have respect for the facts. You know what I mean?
No, look, just because you're into philosophy doesn't mean you don't have respect for facts.
That's what I'm saying. We all do have respect for facts.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
a lot of people are just like, facts don't matter. Or they're just like, well, you know, I could also argue. It's like, that's where the buck should stop. You know what I mean? If it's fucking from like, you know, Pew polling or if it's actually legitimate and it can be verified. You know what I mean?
You know, Bertrand Russell, who was sort of in both these situations. So when he was a kid, he was really good at math. And he was almost like forced by his parents to pursue the scientific field and became a really good mathematician.
Mm.
But as he got older, he was always interested in philosophy too.
Mm.
So he sort of lived both lives. And he wrote a bit about coming to terms with the idea of philosophy as well as the post-Enlightenment age.
Mm.
And I think, I'm paraphrasing, but one of the ways that he said both have legitimate roles in society. He agrees with what you're saying. Like, obviously, analysis and rigorous scientific exploration is the only way to understand how to solve questions. There's no other thing that you can pull out of your ass. I think he was arguing that what sort of questions are asked is in the domain of philosophy. And I mean, how it's answered is in the domain of science.
Yeah. All right, you've got me on that.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's all right.
That's pretty good.
Well, Bertrand Russell. All right, should we end this?
Yeah, I'm kind of sad too, but all right.
All right. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Bye. Cheers. And give us money, please.
We love you.